Anyone else have want to comment on anything that we said, or do you want to any other scriptures? Because there's many. Any more scriptures just to bring up on this thought of the holiness of God? Any other thoughts?
One other observation is this is an observation. In the New Testament, the word holiness first appears in Luke 1, 75. It only appears once in the Gospels, the word holiness. Again, I don't have a sort of follow-up to that, but in fact, I just found it interesting that that does not appear in the Gospels apart from once in Luke. Obviously, it appears in other parts of the New Testament, like Romans and so on, but the rest of the Gospels, it doesn't appear.
Holiness.
Yeah. That word, holiness. Or is it that version of
And holy does.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But not holiness. In fact, let me just interject this in connection with that. I found it interesting that the book of Matthew, because it's written to the Jews, Christian Jews, it's emphasizing the same type of set apartness. That's not a word, is it? It's emphasizing the same being sanctified, set apart for God, as the Old Testament does. And then the Gospel of Mark, the emphasis with holiness, how is holiness emphasized in Mark? Even though the word holiness isn't there, but the thought of holy is. And it's really emphasizing the holiness in the life of Christ as that perfect servant of God. And when you look at that, and also in connection, remember John the Baptist with Herod, because he knew that this was a holy man, it says, in connection to with John the Baptist. Herod was afraid because this was a holy man that he was dealing with. And the impact on the life of Christ and the life of John the Baptist, it just underlines to us what God can do with a life that's holy for him. And I'll tell you, John the Baptist, as we see in Scripture, he had an impact. And he was called a holy man. And so I that was very challenging to me. And it should be to all of us, probably. But I was going to finish. Matthew, pretty much on the same lines as the Old Testament. Mark, the emphasis is on the life of Christ, holiness seen in the life of Christ. And then in Luke's Gospel, I found it interesting that the emphasis there of holiness is the Holy Spirit. Because the Lord Jesus is seen in Luke's Gospel as a man. And so, the Holy Spirit working through him. It's interesting to me, and I looked this up, that in Mark's Gospel, there are 6 references to the Holy Spirit. In Matthew's Gospel, there's 12 references to the Holy Spirit. In Luke's Gospel, there's 17 references to the Holy Spirit. And also, Luke wrote Acts, and there's 57 references to the Holy Spirit there. Now, these aren't just numbers and statistics I'm throwing out, but just to emphasize that this whole idea of living out holiness in our lives cannot be done in our own strength. And we're going to cover that, Lord willing, on Friday. But I just want to mention that, and since Sam connected us to the New Testament, is that holiness is not in our own strength. It can only be done in the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, any other portions of Scripture that come to mind connected to holiness?
This one's emphasized the uniqueness and the superiority of the holiness associated with the Lord. In 1 Samuel chapter 2, it says, "No one is holy like the Lord, but there is none besides you, nor is there any rock like our God." Mm. So he is far superior and incomparable to any other.
And that's the beginning of Hannah's prayer, isn't it? Or it's really a song. And one of the first things she emphasizes is the uniqueness of God as being holy. And I think that's, you see how important it always gets a preeminent place. The holiness of God always gets a preeminent place. One of the first points, and I think there's 7 things in Hannah's prayer that she mentions in her song connected to the characteristics of God. And the first one that she mentions, I believe, is the holiness of God. Very important. Thank you.
I just had a comment too, because in thinking about Exodus, when the Lord tells his people to make the tabernacle, The word sanctuary is used in Exodus 25, and the Hebrew word there is mikdash, which comes from that same word, kadash. And I was just trying to think, maybe this might be helpful. I found it helpful to me that the thought just came, how the Lord had separated Israel as a nation out from the rest of the world, and so they were a holy people. Then, from their midst, He set apart a special place, and that was the holy place. And then, within that even, there was a place that was even more sectioned off, and that was what we see as the holiest of all. And
those two last comments is really what the exercise is all about, is to get us to realize the precious privilege and the wonderful position that we've been brought into. And it's a holy thing. And oftentimes, because, you know, sometimes they say familiarity breeds contempt. Well, oftentimes we take for granted the very things that we have because we're so used to them. Remember the Lord every week? And we say, yeah. Well, they say, well, doesn't that become, you know, old? Doesn't that become, you become too familiar with it? And there is a point to that, that if it's routine, and if it's just ritual, we can become very familiar with it, right? But if it's fresh, and if we're in deep appreciation, it's not just going to be a routine. And that's the exercise, that we might get a sense of His holiness, His uniqueness. Any other scripture? I'm looking on my list, and I see 1, 2, 3, 4 that you've covered. And I have quite a few others. So, any other thoughts? And we don't have to cover all that from my list either, but...
Can I give one thing on the holding to God's place and the word also? It's in Genesis 28. When Jacob fled from his brother Esau into the land of Haran, God met him and showed him a dream and a vision of heaven and a ladder. And it says in chapter 28, verse 16 and 17. Mm-hmm. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? In the footnote here it says, how awesome is this place? Mm-hmm. This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. Mm-hmm. So this is another place where God had visited. And Jacob, well, you mentioned the root of this word, terrible and terrific. So for Jacob here, it was a terrible place, because as it says in verse 16, it was, surely the Lord was in this place and I knew it not. Whereas maybe if Jacob had been in the mind of God and known it would have been a terrific place rather than a terrible. So it's that double side of holiness, that it attracts the ones who are fit for it, but repels those ones.
And it's interesting, just to follow up on this, because if you look in a few chapters later, when Jacob wants to return to this place, to Bethel, he wants to return. But one of the first things that he has to do before he can return to this place is what? What does he do? You remember? He realized that this was an awesome place. That holiness becometh thy house. And Bethel means the house of God. And he realized before he could return back to the house of God, something had to happen in their lives. The idols had to go. And all the things that wouldn't become that house would have to be removed out of the way. Doesn't that speak to us today? All the things that aren't becoming into the presence of God ought to be removed out of our house, out of our life. And that is very challenging. And you know, There's not too many times where Jacob takes the right position in his home. But this is one time he did. And he took the position of head of his home, and he would have them remove all the idols and demolish them, get rid of them. And that's the thing in our life. That's our exercise, that these thoughts on the holiness of God would help us to judge our own lives. Not our brother's life or our sister's life, but that we might take a good look at our own life and ask, are there any idols that need to be removed out of our lives before we can enjoy Bethel, the house of God?